Howdy and welcome to the 10-Week Bible Study. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to jump into Revelation 6, 9 through 17 today. Well, welcome back to the 10-Week Bible Study. This is week 4, day 2 of our study of Revelation. Would you join me as we pray before we start today? Lord, open our eyes and our ears to let us hear and see what your word is speaking to us today and fascinate us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, let's jump into God's word. I'm reading today from the NIV. This is Revelation 6, starting in verse 9. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" All right, pausing right there. We looked at the first four seal judgments in yesterday's episode, otherwise known as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. One of the things that I kind of laid out there is that there's this kind of premise undergirding all of this in the judgments of Egypt. The judgments get more and more severe with each judgment. And we kind of see in the first four seals that the judgment gets more and more severe as we go through this. This would seem to be a departure. Obviously, the fifth seal is very different in nature than the first four. And what we're going to see is there's a pattern here. The first four judgments in each one of the three series of judgments, the seals, the trumpets, and the bowl judgments, they're very different. The first four are very different from the last three. And actually, it's the pattern is kind of the first four judgments, the next two judgments, and then the last judgment stands alone as something else that's different in the three series of judgments. And so with this one, it would seem like this is a dialing back of the intensity. And I actually believe this is an increasing of the intensity. Remember a few chapters ago, the angels are holding these harps and the four living creatures are holding harps and golden bowls, these censers that are filled with the prayers of the saints. We're going to see this imagery of these bowls filled with the prayers of the saints a few times throughout the book of Revelation. And in many of the cases, we're going to see the angels and the living creatures pouring out on the earth these bowls like that are filled with the prayers of the saints. And so there is an aspect to this where the judgment that's being released is actually in response to the prayers of God's people. This is actually a very important, I think, concept throughout Scripture, where the Lord doesn't actually do anything. He has the sovereignty. He could. But we see over and over and over again throughout Scripture, the Lord actually doesn't do things. He doesn't bring judgment against people or nations or that kind of stuff unless there is a cry from people. We see in the judgment against Sodom and Gomorrah in the book of Genesis that God sends these angels down to see. He says, and the angels say, "We're going to see if the cry that has reached the Lord's ears is as bad as it sounds." That's why the Lord sends these angels, because this cry for justice and judgment has come up from all of the oppressed living in the region around Sodom and Gomorrah. And so he sends two angels down to investigate this. I mean, that's an interesting thing, why he would send angels down, and it gets into kind of how the Lord's kingdom works, you know, because is the Lord sovereign enough to hear that himself and send something? Yes, but then he seems to not do it. He doesn't do things unless he's got two or more witnesses to back things up. And so all throughout Scripture, the Lord responds to the cries of people for judgment and justice. And here in this case, in the fifth seal, we see that there are souls that have been martyred for the testimony of Jesus, who are, and he says, they're under the altar. And we see here that they have not been given their white robes. They've not been given their crowns. They're in this kind of like holding place where they haven't entered into this eternal existence that we're going to see later. But they're there and they're waiting, and they're in the presence of God. They're in this altar, you know, however that looks, in the throne room of God. They're there before the Lord. And they actually, before the Lord in this time period, they grow impatient. And they actually put this question to God himself, and they say, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood. They understand that what's been done to them was unjust. It was unjust. And it is like they've grown impatient and they're petitioning the Lord. And then the Lord, in response, gives them a white robe and says, wait a little longer. And then he says something that's probably one of the two most challenging aspects of the book of Revelation, if you're a believer. He says to wait a little longer. He's not going to pour out this full judgment that they're asking for until the full number of their fellow servants, believers in Jesus, are martyred, just as they were. So we see that there are a large number of martyrs, and that Jesus is saying there's going to be more. We're going to see later in the book of Revelation that this Antichrist, who's being given authority by Jesus, is actually going to be given authority by Jesus to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Those are the two most troubling verses, this one and the one later where we see the Antichrist authority over believers, the two most challenging parts of the book of Revelation. I think, as we'll see starting in the next chapter, these judgments, just like the judgments in Egypt, they're not aimed at God's people. They're aimed at those that are rebelling against the Lord and his people. And we're going to see how great that rebellion is later in the book of Revelation. These judgments, they are aimed at someone completely different than God's people. But God's people don't get out of this with complete protection, because this Antichrist and his system is going to be making war against God's people and overcoming them. And then we're going to see later, actually, this Babylon system has actually been making war and martyring believers for quite some time. All of this is going to serendipitously come together. And I think by the second third of Revelation, all of this will begin to be very clear. Verse 12. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red. And the stars in the sky fell to the earth as figs drop from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The heavens receded like a scroll rolled up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. This, if you are experiencing these judgments on planet Earth, this definitely sounds the most terrifying of all of the things so far, even as bad as a quarter of the population of the Earth dying. One of the interesting things about this is Jesus in the Gospels, he's kind of giving his sermon about the end times. And he's like, listen, these times, what he calls the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years of human existence during this age, that period of time, Jesus says, will be like unlike any other in the history of the world. And this is coming from the guy that flooded the earth and started over with Noah and his family, right? This is going to be the worst time on planet Earth. And one of the things that he says is the stars will cease to give their light. Like they'll disappear, right? The night sky, we're not talking about them being occluded. We're talking about them not being there anymore. He's like, this is going to freak people out. But he tells his disciples, but listen, you don't like get all freaked out. Don't lose your head over this. I'm telling you, this is going to happen in advance, so you'll know that it's me doing it. This is not going to be some natural phenomenon. I mean, it will probably play out in a natural looking way, but this will be Jesus doing this. And this will scare people. This will frighten people, right? The stars are going to fall from the sky. Now, this is obviously if the stars of the universe came and actually collided with the earth, that would consume the earth in fire in a moment. So we're not talking about the actual stars falling to the earth. We're probably more talking about some kind of really cataclysmic meteor shower or something like that. It's going to be unlike anything the world has ever seen before. The stars, we will see later in the book of Revelation, and Jesus has spoken this as well, they will cease to give their light. So there's a lot of stuff in the natural order in the heavens, in space, essentially, that are going to start to change like never before in human history. This is going to be like, if you've seen the movie Armageddon and all sorts of, you know, there's stuff falling out of the sky, and it's because there's this comet or whatever it was, and parts of it are breaking off, and it's going to impact the earth, right? It's like, it's that level of chaos. And on top of that, we've got this massive earthquake, and it shakes the entire earth to where it feels like, you know, mountains and islands are removed from their place, right? This is almost like it's the big one that everyone's been expecting in California. It's like, you know, Superman 1, where Lex Luthor causes this massive earthquake and California splits off, and then he's got all this new oceanfront property, right? It's that kind of thing, right? That kind of event. We see very clearly here in the next verse that the mountains didn't all get flattened. They don't cease to exist, but some, like, there are, when it says moved from their place, something has changed in the natural order here in space and on earth. Things are now different, like irrevocably different than they were before. Verse 15. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in the caves among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" So after this giant earthquake, after this meteor shower, whatever it is, after all of these things, it says even the kings of the earth, they go hide in the caves of the mountains, right? They're trying to find somewhere secure where stuff from space won't be falling on them. That's the idea here. It's like nowhere out in the open is now safe. So they're going and hiding in caves, and it's so terrifying for them. They're like, oh my gosh, I would rather just the mountain collapse on me and make a quick end to me than me have to deal with the terror of what's going on outside. That's the understanding we're trying to be given here, is it's actually terrifying. It's terrifying everyone on planet Earth. And then they recognize openly that this is the wrath of God. It's the wrath of the one who sits on the throne, and no one can stand up to this. We're going to see that they have been rebelling against God very openly during all this period of time, and that's going to increase. It's almost, again, like in Egypt, Pharaoh hardened his heart, but then there came a point where God hardened Pharaoh's heart. We're going to see this very same thing that's going to happen here in the book of Revelation. The people are hardening their hearts. There's going to come a point where God is the one hardening their hearts, where they can't stop on this path that they've begun to walk down. Now, this word that they use here, the wrath of the Lamb, it's time. We understand that the wrath of God is coming on us. Paul says that, you know, we are not appointed to wrath, people of God, the people of the Lord. And so this is actually one of the distinctions that people who believe and teach a pre-tribulation rapture. And again, I want you to see things from Scripture. Understanding the rapture doesn't just come from the book of Revelation, but it comes from several other places in Scripture, mostly Paul's writings, Thessalonians, to be specific. It is a very valid biblical teaching, the idea of the rapture, that the Lord is going to take away his people at some point. When that happens is one of the topics that's debated, and this idea of the pre-tribulation rapture. Very clearly, I do not believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. Number one, I believe Scripture is actually very clear here in the book of Revelation and in Thessalonians and other places that we will look at when we come to that point. I believe it's very clear as to when this event happens. And it's not before the tribulation begins. It's toward the end of it. Again, we'll look at that. The other, there's other reasons I don't believe in that, historical reasons. It's actually a very new theology in the last 150, 200 years range. Very, very new. It's not something that anybody in, for most of Christian history, believed. Now, there are lots of different beliefs about the rapture and about different things. So it's a little bit more complicated than just saying it's brand new, but is in historical terms a very brand new understanding of the book of Revelation and the end times. But this verse about, you know, we're not appointed to wrath, it's very, very true. And again, we're going to finish this verse and then move into chapter 7. We're going to see exactly, I believe, what the Lord means by this, that we are not appointed to wrath. There are people on earth during this time period who are appointed to wrath, much like in the days of Egypt. The Egyptians and Pharaoh and the land of Egypt, it was wrath that was falling on them. But at the same time, the Lord put this protection over Goshen. He protected them. And that wrath that was intended for the Egyptians, for what they had done to the Israelites, that did not fall on the Israelites, the Hebrews. It only fell on Egypt. I believe we're going to see something very similar. So there is wrath being poured out at this point, but it's wrath for a particular group of people, as we will see, very well-defined group of people as we move throughout the book of Revelation. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and I can't wait to see you next time. Well, thanks for joining me today on our study. Would you like and subscribe to wherever you're watching this? It really helps more people find out about our broadcast, and my heart is for more people to fall in love with God and His Word.